Welcome to the Amazing Relationships Podcast with Kim Wilson, a space designed to help you create amazing relationships with yourself and others. Get ready to experience hope, love, and inspiration. Here's your host, Kim Wilson.
Hello, I'm Kim Wilson. Today we're talking about toxic relationships. I'm talking about relationships where we do more tolerating than we do celebrating. I'm talking about tolerating all the bad stuff that happens day after day after day, and it just leaves us feeling absolutely exhausted and drained. I'm talking about when we exist inside of relationships and we're not kind to one another with our words and actions. Toxic relationships exist on a romantic level, family level, and a professional level. And don't forget, we can have toxic friendships too. I was getting in my car yesterday. I was in a parking lot, and I saw a mother telling her son, and the little boy, he looked to be about 6 years old, and she said to him, "Shut up, just shut up." And she was visibly angry. And I thought, you know, there's another way to do that. How about be quiet? Stop talking. But there's something about the two words, shut up. And then in a public format. And when she did that, she reached inside of the car. I'm not sure if she hit him or what. But that's a whole nother thing, because I don't think you should ever spank when you're angry like that. Toxic relationships, it really lies in the power of our words. Inside of your family, inside of your friendships, and on the romantic level. Some of the things that causes, I think, a toxic relationship: unaddressed mental health issues. You know, let's even talk about the family setting. If you grew up in a home where the parent was always angry, and even if you are the parent and you find yourself always angry, that is not normal. It is not normal to feel angry and keyed up every single day. And if you're constantly feeling that way and that has not been addressed, of course, that can impact your relationship with others at home and at work and out in the community. And usually, if you're constantly angry, you stay offended. You know, somebody is always saying something the wrong way. You didn't like the way they said that. Or you're thinking somebody is taking a private shot at you. And your interactions with people are different. There's a lot of toxicity there. There's a lot of toxic energy inside of you if you're constantly angry, offended. That's exhausting. The other thing that makes a relationship turn toxic is when there's constant arguing. When we are constantly in an argument with somebody and we have to do this day in and day out, whether this is inside of a friendship, inside of a workspace, or inside of the home, again, that's draining and that is exhausting. Now, here's the thing about a toxic relationship. You don't have to stay inside of it. The beautiful thing about life, what I love about life, is life will not ever leave you without a choice. There is the power of choice. You do not have to sit inside of a toxic relationship. You know, when children are being mistreated and they live inside of a toxic relationship at home, you know, we've started the conversation, and I think on certain levels, we try to give children tools inside of school to say, hey, you can speak up, you can say something. And that's not so to punish people in the household, but to help them so everybody can live in a healthier space, a healthier emotional space. Because a lot of times when children grow into adults and they have toxic relationships with others, many times they come from a toxic relationship. You know, when children have behavioral problems in school, that's creating a toxic relationship with students around them, because students, they can't concentrate, they can't study, because there's so much toxic energy from this child, and it comes from the home space, you know, where, you know, that's their base. Now, people say, well, okay, I hear that. I don't think my relationship is toxic. You know, we do argue every day. Who doesn't? Okay, well, when you find yourself constantly explaining why you are you, or why there is so much disrespect or demeaning in your relationship, well, we want to be mindful of that, because then we start making excuses about why we tolerate being disrespectful or being disrespected. Now, when we start hiding how toxic our relationship is with somebody, whether it's a family relationship, we can't get along with our parents, we're not getting along with our siblings, you know, we're not getting along with friends. Now, when we start hiding that, we don't want anybody to know, and we're acting as if everything is all nice and peachy keen. And see, when we start hiding it, that's shame. Now, when we step inside of shame, we're stepping inside of some deep waters here, because shame keeps you stuck. When you are hiding it, you are pulling back the covers, and you don't want anybody to know that you are existing inside of a relationship where you are mistreated, disrespected. And I'm talking about in the workplace too, because sometimes we go to work and we're being bullied by others. And sometimes we are the bullies too, making the workspace difficult for somebody else. If we are in a managerial position and we fail to give somebody feedback for a job well done, or even when somebody is not doing well, we don't tell them. We're just waiting for them to set themselves up so they can fail and walk themselves out of the door. Well, that's toxic, because before anybody is anything to us, they are our fellow human being. And if a person is not performing well inside of the workspace, first we offer feedback to them, then we offer to coach them. And once we have coached them and offer feedback and they still cannot measure up to the performance level that is requested, then we help them to transition to a space where they may thrive and just not survive. That's not helpful for anybody. But, you know, if we're dreading going to work every day, that is toxic. We're not living our best lives. So how do we move on from toxic relationships if we see that we are in one, or somebody close to us is living inside of a toxic relationship? Well, the first thing is you have to develop standards for yourself. You have to know what you will accept and will not accept. You know, you have to have this standard level of happiness. What brings you joy? And I think when you create a standard, you create this opportunity for yourself to say, you know what? These are my standards, and this person falls way below there. My standard is to feel respected. My standard is for somebody to talk to me instead of yelling at me. My standard is for somebody to listen to me. My standard is for me to be promoted within a certain time frame. My standard is for me to have somebody support my desire to continue with my education. My standard, you have to have standards. And if people are not able to meet those standards, that gives you the space to make the best decision for yourself. Because remember, you can't control what somebody else say, what they do, what they think, but you will always be able to control your response. That's what your job is. That's what your role is, to control your response. If you're functioning inside of a toxic relationship and you feel like you want to make it work, whether it's a romantic relationship, a relationship with a family member, or a work relationship, first, you tell that person what you need and what you want from them. And this goes hand in hand to you developing your own standards, step number one. So once you develop your own standards, you have to tell people what you need and you want from them. That's like teaching people how to treat you. Now, they have the choice to either comply with those standards or not. It is their choice. Now, if they choose not to, then that helps you with your choice. You know, you may not, well, yeah, you have to make a decision whether or not you want to just be tolerated or celebrated. For me, I choose to be celebrated every day. I don't think I have to go a day, especially when I think about my home life, the space where I rejuvenate, I renew. I don't think I have to spend at least one day just being tolerated. I don't think that's necessary. Step three, you have to be consistent with your standards. Like with children, when we discipline children, if we want to provide a consequence to them for misbehavior one day a week, and then the other 6 days they get to do what they want, well, that's not being consistent, because what they are learning is that you don't respect your own rules of the household. You don't respect your own standards. So why should they respect it? People will respect what they see you respect. Yeah, I remember once my car was a little junky, and and somebody got in my car, and I noticed that they just kind of threw their gum paper on the floor. They put a piece of gum in their mouth, and I was like, wait a minute, what are you doing? And I thought, oh, you see what? Okay, I see. They have looked around in my space, in my car, and they see my folders and paper spread out all in my back seat. And something has translated in their subconscious that, oh, she does not respect the space in her vehicle, and I don't have to do it either. When my car is squeaky clean and I have taken it to the detail place, you can't find anything on the floor. People will ask, is it okay if I drink in here? Is it okay if I open my water? Because at that point, they will respect what they see you respect. And I want to back up a little bit too about toxic relationships. You know, some of the signs. We talked about the constant arguing. We talked about the demeaning. One thing I didn't bring up was control issues. Control, when somebody has control issues inside of a relationship, that is toxic. That is not normal. Controlling somebody or attempting to control somebody, that is not love. And a lot of times when there is control inside of a friendship, within family, within workspaces, it's all about mind games. When I was a little girl, I used to have a neighbor named Miss Mildred. Sometimes on the weekend, I would go over to help her out because she was elderly. And whenever I would ask her how she was doing, her standard answer was, "Well, child, I'm fully clothed and in my right mind." And for the longest, I would think, what does that mean? And I would go home and tell my mother, Miss Mildred keeps saying her mind has closed. Because I'm like 9 years old, and I just could not make sense of that. And my mother would laugh and say, she's just saying she feels good. And as I got older, I learned that that was a biblical context. And she was saying, I'm fully clothed and in my right mind. And to be fully clothed, what that means is you're just functioning at a level, a healthy mental health level, where you can receive information, give information, make sound decisions. When you are fully clothed and in your right mind, toxic relationships cannot exist in your life, because you are of sound enough mind to not allow somebody to control you. You are in your right mind enough to say, you know what? this relationship does not meet my standard. This is just something, and it's not better than having nothing at all. When I was a little girl, people used to say, you know, just be thankful. You know, just be thankful, you know, if you got two pieces of candy instead of one. I mean, if you got one piece of candy instead of two, it was be thankful. Yes, we should be thankful. Somewhere along the lines, I think when we receive this message of just being thankful, you got something, we carry that to another part of our lives. And when we have people in our life that we don't want to leave us because we think we're going to be alone, then we start to say, well, at least I have something. It's better than just not having anybody at all. It's better than not having a friend to hang out at all with on the weekend. It's better than not having somebody to go to the movies with or to have dinner with. It's these little things too that happen in our society, these messages that we kind of accept, and we don't know it, but we're applying it to our daily lives. Luther Vandross, who's a deceased R&B singer, he used to have this song, "I rather have bad times with you than good times with somebody else." No, I gotta tell you. Now I'm a Luther girl. You know, I was singing all of Luther's songs. That one too. But I did not believe that. I mean, if you're having a whole bunch of bad times with somebody, you're constantly arguing, they're demeaning you, you are demeaning them, you know, playing mind games, that is toxic. And that is not good for you, because every time and every day you have to spend time hanging out in this energy space. Not only does it impact your life, you're going out there to interact with somebody else, and it's going to touch their life. That means that this toxic space is taking up inside of your heart. It's taking up a space where happiness can be. And if happiness is living there, that means that your interactions with others are going to be more pleasant. And not only does that touches others around you, somehow in its own way, that impacts the community. And when that impacts the community, it impacts the world. Love wins. Choose loving relationships instead of toxic relationships. Well, we've reached our time. I've opened up my comment section on my website. Let me know what you think. Visit www.kwspeaks.com. When you get there, click on the podcast tab. There is a comment section under each podcast. Click on it and add to the conversation. Now, if you feel just a little bit better, a little more inspired than you did when you start listening to this podcast, please understand that you've just been loved. Onward and upward. Talk to you next time.
Thank you for listening to the Amazing Relationships Podcast with Kim Wilson. Want more? Visit kwspeaks.com for the latest inspirational blogs.